Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here in Flowery Branch. It's a special Thanksgiving episode as we feast on comments and questions and all sorts of topics surrounding the Falcons, bringing those to you along with myself, our pilgrim Daniel Cox.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Jay. Is that how? AJ. Anthony the intern.
And also we've got Anthony the intern, who did some feasting this past weekend with his new web feature Feed AJ, where he went around to tailgates. We went around the yellow lot and convinced people to feed AJ.
Yeah, I'm still pretty full off of that. I mean, even that first helping of that neck bone soup. And let me tell you, that had to be the that was just pretty awesome.
Yeah. Neck bone soup.
Yeah, the neck bone soup.
Looked like you got a big old chunk of neck bone in there too.
Yeah, I'll save that for later. It was a big gulp. Let me just put it like that.
It looked like it. But fans, if you haven't checked out Feed AJ, please do. It is absolutely hilarious, and we will continue to bring that to you for every home game the rest of the way. And if you have your tailgate suggestions, let Anthony know. Tweet him up.
Yeah, I think the next go around, I think I want to see a little bit of chili. What you think, Jay? Chili?
Chili would be good. It might be cold before that Saints game. Sun will be down.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Daniel? What you think we should have?
You're asking the wrong person. I'm lucky to cook for myself once a week, but chili sounds good. There's probably some left residual Thanksgiving things that you could have.
Could be.
Some cranberry stuff.
I'll tell you
stuffing.
What. Just from the limited... I walked around with you, and from the limited tailgates that I saw, people got to step up their bacon game.
Yeah, I want to see some more cupcakes, some cheesecakes,
too. How
about
bacon cupcakes?
Bacon cupcakes.
If somebody comes with bacon cupcakes, game over.
I think I'm going to go with that.
I think we can
That should be our challenge for the fans this week. Bacon cupcakes.
Cupcakes.
So, Falcons fans, if you see me, make sure you have bacon cupcakes or else
be mad. Or at least bacon and cupcakes.
Turkey bacon or regular bacon?
No, regular bacon.
Okay.
You don't go turkey bacon.
Let's get to the show. Let's get to the show.
Yeah. All right, fine.
Turkey bacon.
Fine. All right, so the Falcons coming off the 23-19 win over the Cardinals, and a lot of you out there just gauging from reactions on Twitter and Facebook and other social media that, you know, it's almost like a loss.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's pretty down after that, you know. not everybody's subscribing to the win is a win philosophy here. I do. I think it's very hard to win games in the NFL. And, you know, that's a very tough defense that we played. I think we probably downplayed it a little bit last week when we were talking about it. But that Cardinals defense is just about as good as you're going to see from any team in the league. And, you know, to turn the ball over 5-6 times and you know, well, at least 5 interceptions, you know, that's – come out with a win is no easy thing to do. I think, you know, the Falcons definitely fortunate that you're playing against a couple of pretty inexperienced quarterbacks. However, a lot of short fields that the Falcons defense stepped up on, and I really thought that the Falcons defense stepped up regardless of who was throwing the ball. There were some situations there last week that, you know, the Cardinals really could have hurt us, and the Falcons defense came up big.
Absolutely. You know, in 6 weeks, this will just be a win that if you will remember, you know, the historicness of the infamous win, I guess you could say, you know, what Matt Ryan, first quarterback to throw 5 interceptions and no touchdowns since 1967.
Yep.
Bart Starr was the last.
Yep.
And that's like Matt said, you know, that's not bad company, I guess. You know, he's a Hall of Famer and he won a couple of Super Bowls. So, but you're right, Jay. The defense for the Falcons, well, both defenses for that matter, in the game were really, really good. You know, but one of the things that has been mentioned, I think, but really needs to, we need to harp on about Matt's five interceptions. It sounds strange to say five interceptions from Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
But, you know, three of them were tipped. Two at the defensive line, and then one was kind of – I don't recall the play exactly. Roddy had a bad angle on a ball, and it kind of banged off his hands, mm-hmm. and they just happened to catch it. So those are fluke scenarios in some regards. But, you know, it wasn't all bad decision-making from Matt, I don't think. So no. I don't think
– and let's not forget that you're playing the most blitzing defense. Yeah,
40% of the time.
40% of the time. I mean, they came after Matt Ryan, and he was under pressure all day, forced to make some decisions, probably forced to throw a little early sometimes. But, you know, those tip passes, you can't blame on him.
Yeah.
You know, it's I can anyway. And if you want to argue with me, you can. I just think those don't really go against anybody. It just kind of – it is what it is. And it's, you know, maybe the defense making a good play. But, you know, I don't hold that against him much. What I love is – the fact that he can throw five interceptions and still come back to the huddle and be like, okay, guys, we got this.
Yeah, fourth quarter. I mean,
which
they
did.
They went down and got a touchdown that they needed. That was the first offensive touchdown of the day, you know, and that was, in some ways, that was a team win in the purest form. You know, defense bailed the offense out quite a number of times, you know, and they got that touchdown, that 15-yard fumble recovery run from Jonathan Babineau, which was just heads-up play by a handful of guys, mm-hmm. you know, in a play that just looked like it was dead, and it was a lot of confusion, and John Abraham kind of rallied the troops, I guess you could say, and kind of made everyone realize that there was no whistle, and things kept going. So that was the first touchdown of the game. But, you know, and then in the fourth quarter, like you said, you know, despite five touchdowns or interceptions, despite having a pretty bad day all around from Matt and the offense in general, they went and got a touchdown when they needed it, and they went all the way up the field as well. So, you know, a win is a win. It wasn't pretty, but I think it sheds some light on the Falcons themselves, like some soul searching, I guess you could say. I think there's going to be some of that this week. You know, they got away with one, probably maybe another one, I guess you could say. You know, they've had some games like that, but I think there's going to be some solidifying this week with the Falcons.
Yeah, and it's that time, and it's time to tighten up, and it's time to, you know, get your team ready to make a playoff run. I mean, it's just that time of year. We're in week 12, and so I do expect to see the both sides of the ball really just take that next step. And, you know, it's going to be tough to do against a Tampa Bay team that, you know, a lot of people wrote off at the beginning of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
And heck, you can throw me in that. I really didn't expect a whole lot out of that crew this year. First year coach, just coming from college. You know, mm-hmm. you hear some of the rumblings during the off season, and he's really strict with his guys. And it's like, sometimes that works in the NFL, sometimes it doesn't.
Exactly. I mean, it was a culture change in Tampa, if nothing else. And then they spent a lot of money in free agency, and sometimes that can go in a number of different ways as well.
Right, and they just happen to be one of the teams that's able to put it all together, and dangerous right now.
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, they're coming off four straight wins. They had a big win last week in overtime. They were down by 11.
Yes, they were.
At one point to Carolina, came back and won.
In overtime, no less.
In overtime, and that's the kind. Those are the kinds of wins that build a lot of confidence, especially in a young team, and mm-hmm. which they are. You know, they added some veterans in the off season, but they are still a very young team with a very good core, and you know, Josh Freeman could use that shot of confidence every now and again, and they certainly got it last week. But we'll talk about him a little bit more. But the big story I think is Doug Martin, their rookie running back. I mean, he's amazing, outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, you and I talked about Doug before the draft,
and
you know, we were very impressed with him going into the 2012 draft. So a guy we're certainly familiar with, and I'm not surprised that he's had some success here early on, even as a rookie. You know, he's just been incredible.
Yeah, he was out of Boise State. They traded back up into the first round, I think it was, to get him. So it's clearly a guy they had targeted, clearly a guy they felt could make an impact. And, you know, and they didn't have a a bad running back to begin with. LeGarrette Blount, has a 1,000-yard season to his credit. Definitely a different style runner. So they definitely combine to give the Bucks a pretty impressive running game. But, you know, Doug Martin does other things other than just run the ball. I mean, he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield as well. You see a lot of stats on him, but there are most of his stats are discussing scrimmage yards, which include receptions as well. So he's dangerous, and he's going to be kind of the key, I think.
Yeah, and on the other side of the ball, you've got the Falcons are going to be facing the stingiest run defense in the league right now.
Number one in the league. Yeah, they're 88 yards a game.
They're not giving up very much on the ground at all. And that's, you know, you look at it, and those are the matchups. The Falcons' run game against their run defense, and then their run game against the Falcons' run defense. I think that's – something's going to give there, you know. Something's got to give because, that's going to be two very dangerous parts of the game, for the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jay.
No, you're good.
They're rushing 128 yards a game. That's ninth in the league. But here's what isn't being discussed, I don't think, enough. The Tampa Bay Bucks pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
They're statistically, at least, and I'm not one to point fingers, but they're not very good. They are last in the league.
Yeah.
Yards allowed. So, we say what we will about the Falcons' run game, and we'll discuss that a little bit more in a minute here. But, the Falcons' passing game is pretty good.
Yep.
So that's a good matchup, I think.
Yep. I mean, there's a lot of interesting matchups in this game, and of course we'll revisit them at the end of the year, the last week of the season. We play Tampa in the Georgia Dome, but
which seems to happen a lot, by the way.
Yes,
we close out the season with Tampa. Yeah. And, in 2009 as well.
Yep.
Which, by the way, the Falcons are 9-1. That's the fifth straight. They've clinched their fifth straight winning season, and I think that needs to be mentioned as well.
It does, but you notice how the expectations have changed because nobody's really mentioning.
No,
that
and
this
that's
year.
True, but still, hey, five straight winning season is
it's huge.
A culture of winning.
Yep.
In Flowery Branch.
I'm not downplaying it. I think it's just become an expectation now, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you're right. You've got to enjoy it, because there are a lot of teams that would love to have five winning seasons straight.
Yeah,
There are a lot that would love to have five winning seasons in recent memory.
Right, and the Falcons fans they've never been able to say that. So, yep. Hey, they're on a good run right now.
Yeah, so congrats to fans. I mean, enjoy it for sure. I know we are.
Yeah.
Let's get on to buy or sell, our ever-popular topic. We've got some very controversial and scandalous topics drummed up by our intern, Anthony. AJ.
Scandalous? You think the topics are scandalous?
Everything you do is scandalous.
Yeah, that seems about right.
So that's kind of where I'm thinking for that.
Yeah, that seems about right. All right, the first question in the buy or sell. The Falcons' run defense has officially become a problem. Buy or sell that one?
Look, every team has an area where they need to improve on. And I don't – the Falcons are clearly not immune to that. I think the run defense is an area of concern. I don't think it's a liability. I don't think you look at the past three games, and not having Sean Weatherspoon has really affected this team. I think it's looking like and let's keep in mind here that this is now Wednesday morning.
Yes.
And you're probably listening to us on a Thursday evening, so we don't know right now.
I hope
your turkey
was good, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, exactly. Good turkey day to you. We don't know as of right now, Wednesday morning, if Sean Weatherspoon is going to play this weekend. We hope to have more information on that later today, and hopefully Thursday night while you're listening to this, you're like, oh, yay, yeah. We're eating turkey, and Sean Weatherspoon's playing this weekend.
Yes.
So. It's looking like all indication is that he's going to be back practicing with the team this week, and could be ready to go this weekend. I think that's going to be a huge shot in the arm for that run defense. And you take away the couple of big runs, and we're really not talking about – teams haven't consistently been able to run on this defense. They've got those big plays that, make – tweak the stats a little bit.
Yeah.
So, has it officially become a problem? I'm going to sell it. And I know that's probably, you know, I know a lot of fans that have will completely disagree with me on that, and that's fine. You know, tweet me and let's hash it out. But, you know, I just don't see – I think there are some reasons why. I think the three defensive tackle set is going to help that out, and then you put Sean Weatherspoon behind it. It could be a real shot in the arm for this defense. So I'm not ready to give up on him yet.
It's interesting. Again, you know, despite this ongoing discussion about the Falcons' run game, the Falcons are still 9-1. You know, they keep winning games. I think they've managed. I think you're right, Jay. It is a bit of a liability, but I think that they managed to overcome that liability. And you're right. You also mentioned, you know, the two runs, and I didn't go back beyond last week, but I was interested. Two runs the Cardinals had, 52 and 40 yards. That's 92 yards for those that are slow
in
math. In two plays. The rest of the time, you know, you take out those two plays, and I know that's a weird game to play. You can't just remove plays.
Right.
But you consider, okay, if those two, you know, despite those two plays, how well did they play the run the rest of the time? You know, the Cardinals gained 45 yards on 24 carries. So they were handling their business for the most part. So they just need to figure out what's happening in those big gains.
Yeah.
You know, those explosive plays that Coach likes to talk about. You know, missed tackles, and Coach talked about it at length on Monday about the misfitting in the run game. And I'm not knowledgeable enough about football to completely understand what that term means. I have an idea, and the concept I understand, but you know X's and O's, you know,
escape you.
Yeah. Yes, as does math, and often my words as well. But you know, I feel like they're going to get it fixed. You know, there are solutions in there, and I think you're right, Jay, as well. Sean Weatherspoon, crossing our fingers, hopefully comes back, and I think it's going to be a big asset to them. But you know, those missed tackles and some of those explosive plays are really what's happening with their run defense. It's not. I don't think it's bad personnel or bad schemes. It's just some of those issues they need to clean up. So I'm going to sell it as well. And you know,
I can hear the eye rolls from here too.
I know, man. We are company men through and through.
Oh.
But you know what?
It's not even that. It's like I truly believe that. I will never come on here and spout off some stuff that I don't truly believe in. So,
but the Falcons keep winning, you know. So.
Exactly, and for a quick moment, let's just talk about style points. How many championships have been won by style points?
In the NFL?
In the NFL.
None.
Exactly.
Good point.
You know,
this is not the NCAA. There's no AP Top 25, coaches' polls, BCS nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last I checked, the only time or the only way to win a Super Bowl is to win that actual game.
Yeah,
and the Falcons have been winning games. The Falcons have been winning games. So
yeah, fans vote on the Pro Bowl though. So
yes,
know,
get out.
Don't
and
forget
vote.
About that.
Get out and exercise your vote. All right, let's move on to our next buy or sell topic. Anthony, feed us.
Okay, and by the way of voting, I have voted 20 more times.
Good. That's what you're supposed to be doing all day.
I know. I just take that to heart. The next three games for the Falcons are the most important games of the season. I know we say this every week, but is this really the importance of the season right here?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think you've got three straight division games. You've got Tampa Bay back home at New Orleans or against New Orleans, and then on the road to Carolina. And you know, the division slate is the most important. And you know, I think, hey, look, I mean, last I heard, and I could be wrong, but I believe the Falcons' magic number for winning the NFC South is two.
Okay.
Two. So two wins. You know, you go two or three, these next three, you're all saddled up. I mean, you're in great position.
Absolutely.
And then you talk about the race for the number one seed. You're a game and a half ahead of San Francisco right now. You know, you got to be happy with that tie that they had that could come back to haunt them. So you got to like the position that you're in right now. You've just got to take care of your business these next three games. And three very tough games. Very, very tough games. Tampa Bay, we're discussing now. New Orleans, obviously, we know how tough that team can be. They're coming on. Those two teams are very hot right now. And then Carolina, look, you know, say what you want to about them. Still a tough team.
Yeah, I mean, I
don't care. Division games are always going
to
be tough.
Division games are always tough. They took Tampa to overtime last week. So
exactly. So I'm not ready to bail out on Carolina as a tough competitor. So, but I do think the next three games are going to be the most important of the season. You've got a lot on the line. You can lock up a lot in the next three games. So this is it. This is the time for me. So I buy that.
I buy it too, you know, as well. Two of those three are also on the road, so that's another element there that makes that challenging. They're all division games, like you said. They're always tough. These guys repeatedly talk about.
Yes. And let's also mention those three games are over the span of about 14 days.
This is true too. You know, so the Falcons play the Bucks on Sunday and then turn around on a Thursday night, return to national television. We like it there, but. It's going to be an interesting week.
Tough game. Man. Thank goodness it's a short week, too. You know, it's really, honestly, because the shenanigans off the field are just going to be.
Oh, you guys. You New Orleans Saints.
Anyway.
Yeah, so I buy that statement as well, Jay. I think your explanation there is about as good as it gets. So,
Well done.
So I agree. I mean, it's like you said, you know, win two of those games, you're in the driver's seat in the division, and then, you know, we'll talk about number one seeds in the playoffs a little bit later on, but, you know, that's a good place to be. So
absolutely,
get it wrapped up.
Absolutely. All right, let's go on to our next topic. Anthony, take it away.
All right, Tampa has scored a combined 205 points in the last 6 weeks, which lead the NFL. Are they the best teams that the Falcons has, you know, played this season? I mean, they do have Josh Freeman, I think Vincent Jackson and Dallas Clark at receivers, and you also have, you know, Martin in the backfield. So, I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, there's certainly some talent there, and I'm definitely, you know, Tampa's one of those teams that I'm concerned about in the years to come. They're going to be there. They're going
to
be
welcome
right
to
there.
The NFC South. I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Let's not forget about Cam Newton up in Carolina. Can never
absolutely.
Forget about him.
Absolutely. Anyway, you know, I go back and forth on this, and are they the best team top to bottom that they've played so far? You know, I'm on the fence on this one. I don't know because we haven't seen them.
Yeah,
you know, so. I just I'm hesitant on this one. They've scored 205 points in the last 6 weeks. That's huge. Of course, we don't know who that's against. I don't have that in front of me. But, you know, yeah, you know, let's go ahead and say that they are. I think ultimately the Falcons' biggest test this season will likely come next week against New Orleans at home. But – For right now, we can certainly say that Tampa looks like, at least on paper, to be the best team that the Falcons have faced this season. You look back at who the Falcons have played, you know, I think the Broncos were a very different team in week two than they are right now. So you can make the argument that the Broncos are the best team that the Falcons have faced this year. But, you know, that I think it's just a different team at this point. So yeah, I'm comfortable with that. I'll go ahead and buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not confident in my buying of that, but you know,
don't make purchases you don't believe in, Jay.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Is like I would say, oh, I'm gonna watch the market, but we've been you know, scolded for being on the market. All right, so Anthony, the intern coming through. Here we go. All right, so.
Like every good intern does.
Okay, so those 205 points. Those 205 points have been scored against Kansas City, New Orleans, Minnesota, Oakland, San Diego, Carolina, and not a single strong defense among them.
Minnesota's not awful. But yeah,
New Orleans does not have a good defense. Kansas City does not have a good defense.
I'd stack the Falcons' defense up against those guys any
absolutely
day of the week.
Absolutely. Carolina's defense is certainly better than their offense at this point, which I don't know how much that's
yeah
truly saying. But and then San Diego's, you know, they're not bad. So okay. So you get a look at who those 205 points have come against. You know, for right now, I'll still go ahead and buy it, but you know, I'm yeah, a cautious buyer.
Okay.
On that one.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
That's cool. I'll buy it too. I mean, you know, if you're saying as we enter this game, are they the best team the Falcons have faced? I feel like the Bucks that enter Week 12 of this season are. It's a reasonable statement to make, I think, that they are the best team the Falcons have faced so far. We'll see. I mean, you got the Giants coming down here in a little bit as well. That's the game I look forward to. You know, and again, you're right. You know, the Saints next week, and we caught the Saints 2 weeks ago on a hot streak and mm-hmm kept it close. You know, it was a tough game. That was one of those games, you know, I think the Falcons would obviously like to have back. But Josh Freeman, 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in those 6 games as well. You know, over that stretch, they won 4 straight, so they lost 2 of those too. You know, they're a tough team, no doubt about it. They bring a lot of interesting elements. You know, in this run game thing, I'm gonna. It's important to stop them.
Yep.
So
it is.
They're talented, but I think that pass defense, again, is something that I keep thinking about.
Yeah.
When I think about Tampa and I think about how well
Falcons
offense.
You could see Matt Ryan throw the ball 50 times this week.
I mean, that's
easy. I mean, that's honestly
3 years ago, we used to discuss yeah when Matt, you know, throws less than a certain number and we run the ball a certain way, we always win.
Yeah.
Anyway, funny how times
we would
change
be surprised. He's like, oh my God, he threw 30 passes this game.
Yeah.
Now it's like 50 is the norm.
500 yards, you know.
Yeah. I mean, look for him to rebound.
It was 400, but what?
Look for him to rebound.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say, you know, you could see 4 or 5 touchdowns from him.
Absolutely. But Tampa is a good team. Definitely surprising in some ways. They've clicked in a lot of ways as well. They've gotten some good efforts out of guys like Doug Martin. I keep wanting to say Curtis Martin, but your air drumming distracted me, Jay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. But yeah, coming into the game, they're playing really well. So I buy that statement. They could be the best team we've seen so far.
You know, we're all on vacation at this point.
I understand.
I'm air drumming. Anthony's over here
He's
on his
texting
cell phone
somebody
playing Snake on his cell phone.
I'm looking up stats. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well, how about you? Well, let's get on to our Twitter keys to victory, and this is going to be a little different than what we've done before. Before, we would ask your questions. Now we're soliciting your comments on what you think the keys to the Falcons' victory is going to be for each week, and then Daniel and I are going to tear them apart limb from limb, and we're going to embarrass you on the internet. So keep tweeting at us. It'll be great. Go ahead, Anthony. Let's feed us our first one here.
All right, the first one comes from ATL Falcons Chick. Her comment was, we have to stop the muscle hamster, which is Martin, which I think is kind of stupid.
It's the strangest nickname I've ever heard in
my
life.
Yeah, strange beyond – that's beyond weird. Running – stop the muscle hamster from running everywhere.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty clear – I agree with you on that one. I mean, that's it.
That's a great nickname. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No, you're out of your mind.
Okay, let's discuss the merits.
The muscle hamster?
Muscle hamster.
What if I just came up to you one day, hey, muscle hamster, how's it going? Like, that doesn't flow.
Well, it doesn't flow because I don't fit the description of the muscle hamster. I'm not overly muscular.
This is true.
My strength could be questioned, and I'm not that fast.
This is also true. Probably
because you've seen
you
a hamster
chucks every day that have been – you've had for 4 years.
That's okay.
And they've got no traction left on the bottom.
They get me where I'm going. And also,
not quickly.
They Jay, come on. Who ran the 40 faster?
Oh, we're going to bring this up. We're going to go here.
In his chucks.
Not by much.
We're not
going to
discuss my first
not
adult injury after
much.
That, but
yeah.
That put me out for 2 weeks.
Oh, I was I'm still sore from that.
Oh man. But yeah, okay. So, muscle hamster aside, yeah, I think she's right. If the Falcons can slow down Doug Martin, the muscle hamster, you know, I think that Tampa offense kind of loses a gear.
It's huge. Yeah. I mean, as he goes, they go. And, you know, a year ago it used to be Josh Freeman. As he goes, they go. It's not like that anymore. If you get a big game out of Martin and then you get a big game out of Freeman, it's going to be tough to beat this Tampa team.
Well, that's what they've shown in the last 6 weeks.
Exactly. And, you know, Martin's kind of like that last missing piece. You know, you add Vincent Jackson in the offseason, which is huge.
Yeah.
You know, you had Carl Nix on the offensive line. He's on IR right now, but of course. But
and they're protecting him really well, though.
They're protecting
though,
him really well, and Freeman's huge, too.
Yeah.
Very tough to bring down. So even if you do get pressure on him, it's tough to finish off the sack. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff about this Tampa team that kind of relies on Martin, but not exclusively. Like, I feel like shutting him down is a huge start to shutting down that team, and you could see a domino effect after that. So I don't know. I totally agree with this. I think huge key to victory. Probably if I had a list, this would be number one. Anthony.
All right, the next one is coming from the wrong boy, and I think this could actually be a pregame speech, but he states that we cannot come out flat, notably done so against two teams that we should have beat easily, Oakland and Arizona. So we have to start out hot and be consistent. What do y'all think about that one?
I would like to go and look at how the Falcons have performed when they've scored on the first offensive drive. And I say that because in the last game, okay, Matt Ryan comes out, very first play, ball goes off of Roddy's hands, and it's picked off. And from that moment, I looked at you and I said, could be a long day.
Oh, absolutely.
Yet, when they score on their first drive, things tend to go much better. And, you know, I wish I had our stat guru Matt Haley around because he would know this right off the top of his head. But when the Falcons score on their first drive, they tend to perform much better. And I think that this is not okay. Anthony's trying to tell me something, and he needs to use a microphone.
The Denver game, we actually scored on the first drive.
Yes.
And look how that happened.
Yes. And I think that's I can't recall in the Oakland game.
Kansas City, too.
Kansas City, yep. Kansas City, Oakland, I can't. It's escaping me right now. We're at that point, Daniel. You'll recall that everything just kind of melds together a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. When we sit down in here, especially you know these last couple weeks, these numbers and all this stuff that we like to spout out and makes us sound intelligent. Well prepared, it all starts to run together. It's really, really challenging. I'm looking for it right now, and I can't find it.
But it's and if we let's write a story about that. If we come across that at some point,
okay.
One of us should probably
yeah, absolutely
do something. Anyways, I notice a correlation between starting out hot and how the game is going to go. And I think you know you talk about in sports all the time. You hear the term setting the tone, and you want to set the tone and set the pace and those kinds of things. I don't think that's something that is just one of those things that people say. I think that's a very real thing. Momentum, confidence, all that stuff. Did you find something? What do we got?
I got you. Okay. Well, I don't have this year, but since 2008, Falcons lead the league in points on first offensive possessions, 207 points.
And I think it's no mistake that you look at the Falcons' record over that time, and there's way more
38
wins than
and
losses.
10 in those games when they score first.
See, exactly 38. I mean that is exactly what I'm talking about. And
also, 34 points on opening possessions this season, also leads the NFL through 11 weeks.
There you go. So this case for me, good job, Daniel Cox. Yes. Where were you on it? On
muscle that? Hamster.
I mean, muscle hamster on the internet. You know, in this case, I got to say the wrong boy, spelled with an I, is the right boy, because I really think that this is definitely one of those situations where you start out slow, the game goes slow. You start out hot, the game goes hot.
Start hot and be consistent.
That's it.
Just like your Thanksgiving turkey.
That would be, yes. You want your turkey hot and consistent. So if we had the list, if we had a list of keys to the game,
okay.
Number one, stop Doug Martin. Number two, start hot, be consistent.
Yes.
That's where I would be.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right, let's get to our last topic here.
All right, this comes from Top Joe C, and it's a little college reference. Like Baylor and A&M, Texas A&M, ATL needs to play much faster and precise on offense. They also have not used no huddle in 2 weeks, and they play best in the two-minute drill.
You know, I don't get the college reference.
He's talking about last week. Baylor and Texas A&M took out the couple of undefeated college teams and, you know, made it this wild and crazy college weekend.
Allow me to explain. Honestly, like, if it does not happen inside the gates of Flowery Branch,
I know what you're saying.
Don't know about it.
There was a game played Monday night, and I was watching Netflix.
I call my parents after. Yeah, I call my parents after every game, and my dad's always like, "Oh, what'd you think of this game?" I said, "Dad,
yeah. Oh man,
I don't know what you're gonna have to explain it."
You talk about Zoom focus.
I mean, I am Zoom focused every
too,
game
man.
Day,
and I can't keep up with what's happening outside of
it's tough.
What's going on? The Falcons game on Sunday.
I catch up when I get home after a game.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of and that's really the only time I allow myself to think outside of these gates. But I think faster, precise on O. Sure, you know. I think you could see that, but I think that, you know, we're starting to see the effect of getting a little bit more tape on Dirk Koetter and the Falcons. And, you know, you start the season, the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, big unknowns. Yeah, you've got these guys have been around and you know exactly what they're going to do, but you don't know what they're going to do with the Falcons. And now that we've got, 10 games under our belt.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 10 chances to look at the tendencies and what these guys are calling, and I think that teams are going to be – teams we play later in the season are better prepared for us than the teams we play early in the season. I think that's true of us too.
Absolutely.
You know, when we prepare for teams early in the season, there's always some unknowns. But the more tape you gather, the more you're able to prepare, the more you're able to figure out how to stop some of the things that have gotten teams success. So – you know, I think there's some parts of it where you're starting to see, all right, so the bubble screens, you know, were really effective early in the season. Now I'm seeing every time we run, teams are sniffing that out. They know what to look for. Okay, so now you're going to see Dirk make some other moves and try to, you know, pull the fake there. You know, go another way. Maybe you fake the bubble screen and you toss to the other side. Who knows? I mean, there's just a lot of different things that can be done, but I think we're starting to see a little bit of where defenses are just going to be better prepared for this offense because there's just a little bit more information out there.
Yeah, that's a good perspective on it. You know, he makes an interesting comment. He hasn't seen the no huddle in 2 weeks, and I haven't paid enough attention. Like, I'm not breaking down film, so I can't confirm or deny that, but I don't recall it just off the top of my head a lot, and we know how the Falcons move in that offense, you know, and Matt is an admitted rhythm player. He likes to be in a rhythm, and they, certainly the Falcons couldn't find a rhythm last week. I mean, that was clear, you know, the turnovers obviously make that challenging, but regardless, even when that wasn't happening, there was there were three and outs or whatever. Faster and precise on offense, I think the no huddle is not a bad idea. But I think you're right. Some of the Falcons' opponents are, game planning for things that they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the chess game of offensive and defensive scheming you know, at a point in the season where it gets really, really interesting. So, you know, how does Coach Cutter respond to that? I think there's plenty in the playbook, and the Falcons have enough good personnel that they can respond to really whatever's happening. And but I think that no huddle idea is an interesting one, and I think I would like to see a little bit of that. So, you know, we'll see what happens against Tampa, but I think he's right there.
Okay.
Good comment.
Great comments. I like our keys to victory now.
I like them too.
You know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
very
that
good.
A good change.
We'll keep that going. So, all right. Well, let's move on to our impact player. And guys, we whiffed last week. All three of us should be absolutely ashamed because all three of us whiffed.
I think last week. Was ashamed after I said my pick last week.
I was ashamed of you after you said your pick. But, Anthony, why don't we go ahead and update? Let's recap what we all picked last week.
Do I really have to say this?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, let's see. Jay, you said Croy Bierman.
I did.
And his stats were 3 tackles.
Yep.
And he would get 2 sacks.
That's what I said.
I
said he would get 2 sacks. He did not get 2 sacks. He did have 3 tackles, however, and I think his presence was felt. I think out of the three, I may have been the closest.
Okay. That's one down. Daniel, who did you say? You said all 5, you was going with 5 men that week.
Yes, and I would still like to point out that his pick is completely invalid because he chose 5 guys and not one.
I chose a collective unit.
No, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. That's why I say I'm on top, Anthony's on the bottom, and you are just disqualified for this week.
That's fine. I mean, even if it is accepted, it still wasn't a very good pick. So I'm happy to be disqualified this week.
Tough defense, though. I think that offensive line did what it could.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
So we're not throwing shade at the offensive line here. And then Anthony's pick.
And then my pick. I said, you know, Jonathan Masquar, and he only played a combined 4 snaps.
Combined 4 snaps.
So I think I should get a reprieve on that one.
No, you get nothing. Look, I like where your head was at. I would have loved to have seen a big game out of Jonathan Masquar. Just the short fields.
Yeah.
That the Falcons faced really kind of changed the plans for him and Cliff Matthews.
Veteran experience was needed in some of those those short field situations where they really needed to get some stops, and they just wanted their best guys out there.
However, I love the ceiling on Masakwa. I think
absolutely.
He could be a guy to watch out for in the years to come. All right, so we all stunk it up this week. Let's try to do a little better this week.
Okay.
And let's start out with Daniel.
Okay. We were pretty consistent with what happened in the game last week. Okay. You know, first of all, last week we were sitting beside each other, Jay, at the game, and, you know, Roddy White is just making catch after catch, as usual, and you said, why do we never pick him?
Exactly.
I don't know the answer to that, Jay. I don't know why we don't pick him.
It's probably
maybe
because
we
expect him to be
as consistent as they come. But anyway, I'm not going to pick Roddy White. This is who I'm going to pick. I'm going to take Sean Weatherspoon. I'm going to anticipate his return this week. He's going to give a heaping of a spoonful of run defense for the Falcons.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he's going to be – you know, he was on the sidelines last week, and I kept seeing him down there wearing a red shirt, waving towels, getting guys amped up. He was so excited to just be there, but I know it killed him not to play. I think if he's, I don't know the injury, you know, the details of his injury, but I can say that it's, you know, just from a perspective of watching football and things like that, it just seems like, you know, maybe this would be a good week for him to come back.
In your medical opinion.
Yes. It seems like the time frame is reasonable enough that he could return.
Sure.
Anyway, Sean Weatherspoon is my pick. He's going to be out there, happy to be out there, excited. His teammates are going to be happy to have him back, and he's going to be a difference maker on Sunday. Okay. He's going to be the reason the muscle hamster will not be running inside his wheel in his cage.
Wow, that was a stretch for a metaphor. All right. Anthony, I'm going to let you go. Do you have one?
I do have one, okay. But I want to hear yours first. Because you might, because Daniel took mine. I wanted to say spoon.
Uh-oh. Okay, so you need some more time.
I want to hear what you say.
Okay, well, it is true that during the game, I turned to Daniel and I said, Daniel, why do we never pick Roddy White as our impact player? And I am going to correct the mistakes of the past few weeks, and I'm going to pick Roddy White as my impact player. And I pick him for this game for a bunch of reasons. Obviously, he's having a fantastic year. We don't know where Julio is yet, all right? So, you know, we could see where he could be again limited in the offense. Who knows? We don't have that information right now as things stand on Wednesday morning. So you're going to see – you could see Roddy White, you know, getting more targets, getting those targets that may go to Julio otherwise. But the other thing that I think plays into this is the redemption factor. And why I say this is because last year, if you remember, when we went down to Tampa Bay, it was, I believe, week two, week three, it was very early in the season. Roddy White had a chance to catch the game-winning touchdown, and it hit his hands and hit the ground. And he was sick over that for a long time. And I think that, you know, there's a part of him that remembers that, and he wants to come and have a good showing in Raymond James and kind of make up for that. So for me, it's going to be Roddy. I'm going to take him as my impact player, and I think, you know, as I usually do, I'm going to come out on top when we look at it next week. So, and I haven't even heard your pick yet. So
my pick, I think I'm going to go – I think I'm going to pull a Jim Harbaugh this week. You know, as he stated – you know, he's going to go with the hot hand out there in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Our hot hand had played 80-something snaps on Sunday.
Ooh, I think I know where you're going.
You think you know where I'm going?
Yeah, I think I know where you're going.
You know, I think he has a nickname by the name of Bobby Mack.
Okay.
I'm going to show him some love this
week. All right.
I'm going to go with Bobby Mack this
week. He was the leading tackler for the Falcons last week. Came in, played really well. When Asante Samuel went down, I'm a big Bobby Mack fan. I think he's one of those diamonds in the rough that you could see in a Falcons uniform for a very long time. So, Daniel, do you have any thoughts on one Mr. Bobby Mack?
I thought you were going to say John Abraham.
Really?
Hot hand? I mean, what?
Oh, you're right.
Two sacks last week. What more does he have to do to impress you? For the record, Jay.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but, you know, last week when you said Corey Bierman, just prior to that, you kind of threw out the name John Abraham and then kind of
I did. I waffled on that.
Yeah, waffled.
I whiffled you and waffled. You were on the fence. I was whiffling and waffling.
You're such a fence sitter there.
I am a fence sitter on a lot of these things. I know.
So you should have listened to your gut and gone with him. But regardless, you know, Corey Bierman, whatever. He was still he was key on that fumble recovery, but. Hey, Robert McClain is a great pick. I like the guy a lot, and he's kind of come out of nowhere and done nice things for the Falcons.
I think collectively what we've done here at this desk is improved on what we did last week. And that's what you try to do, right?
Absolutely.
You try to do a little better every week.
And this is a vacation week, no less. So
this is a vacation week. We're giving you
us.
I'm looking at my timer right now, and we've given you 10 extra minutes of podcast.
All right.
So we're working overtime for you. So I think we're doing a little bit better. We're going to finish strong here. Anthony may grace us with a musical number at some
Strangers point. Strangers in the night.
See what I said?
Right. Yeah. That's that Frank Sinatra right there.
We were just listening to that before we...
Exchanging glances, wandering in the night.
Yeah.
What will be the chances? I'm not going to sing the last part.
No, it's...
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No. Frank was smooth, though.
That he was.
Yeah, Frank was smooth. All right, so should we wrap up this turkey
time?
If
you say
edition?
So, you're the boss, Jay. If you say so, but
yeah, I'm gonna say
we're having way too much fun.
We are, and boy, if you've made it this far with us, thank you for all of that. So
we are very thankful for that.
We are very thankful that you've made
it /day
that you've made it 49 minutes and 45 seconds with us. So. enjoy the game on Sunday. Hopefully it's a great one. And at this point, while you're listening to this, I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. And we will see you next week for another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast.